Many of us professional working adults are taught around middle school that play is not important anymore. Our connection to play as adults is missing.
How do companies create a culture and core values that employees actually live out? The team at The Receptionist, a Denver-based software company, sets out to answer that very question. Welcome to The Fabric. Here's your host, Michael Ashford.
As you may or may not know, Fabric stands for fun, authentic, bold, respectful, innovative, and collaborative. Our core values here at The Receptionist. And it's that first one, fun, that is probably the most misunderstood of those core values. What does it mean to have fun at work? Well, that's what I talk about in this episode with AC Holmes. AC is the owner and founder of Boardless, Playful Work Design. If you're interested in learning more about what we do and how company culture drives us here at The Receptionist, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/TheReceptionistApp. We've released new episodes of The Fabric there, along with lots of other great content. And now, here's my interview with AC Holmes. You have a definition of play at work that I think needs to be the kickoff to our conversation here, talking about play at work and fun and all that good stuff. What's your definition?
So, my definition of play itself is actually an anti-definition. The first thing I usually say is that play is not fun and games. Play is not just fun and games. Play is not about having fun necessarily. And then for the people who would like an actual definition, I use Dr. Renee Proyer's definition of playfulness, which is the ability to reframe a situation to be interesting, entertaining, or stimulating.
I love it. Okay, so how does that differ from what people might say, creativity? How is it different from just being creative at work?
So I think the word creativity carries a lot of baggage with it. We think creativity and we think an artist, maybe a paid artist or a trained artist. We're thinking about someone who is writing music or painting paintings, things that are going to be on a stage or in a gallery one day or sold at a store, because the word creative can often just seem really big to us. But really, all creativity is about is making something. Anything. It could be making, my favorite ways to play is making a spreadsheet. Spreadsheets can be quite creative. It can be making up words to a song for your kiddo that is trying to learn a math formula, or yourself.
yeah, I need that.
I gotta
go back. How is being in a spreadsheet creative for you?
Colors, there's font options, the formulas for people who are very well versed in Excel. There's some really interesting formulas that you can use to put together all kinds of information in ways that are and can be quite creative, just like software coding.
And that playfulness, that creativity, that can be different for different people, right?
Yes.
It doesn't all look the same. And how we think about being playful or having play at work does not look the same for everyone. Am I getting that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just like your response, sorry, did you see spreadsheets? that I get that response quite a bit. It's either, no, spreadsheets do not seem creative or playful to me at all. Or the reverse of that, I get individuals saying, I knew my spreadsheets. They're a really good time for me to put them together. And sometimes I make them for no one else, but just myself. And I go, yes, you might be intellectually playful. So there's four personal play identities. One is lighthearted, which is what people usually think of when they hear the word playful. They think lighthearted. They think carefree. They think we're not worried about consequences or what might happen if we try this. And we're just going to be silly and open and very vulnerable at times. So that's lighthearted, which is, yes, playful, but it's definitely not the only way to play. So when folks, if any listeners, watchers are out there thinking, Yeah, people say they want me to play, and I think, well, I don't want to be silly and wear a clown's nose or do improv. I must not be playful. Then that's only one way to be playful. So the three other ones are whimsical. That one is sometimes closely linked to lighthearted, but really it just means being kind of focused and having very specific ideas of what play and enjoyment and entertainment and stimulation is for you. I identify as whimsically playful. I love a theme. I did go to a holiday party earlier today, which is why I'm dressed like this. But I leaned into it, and I get very specific about like toys and certain types of books. So people at Comic-Cons, probably a lot of folks at Comic-Cons and Renaissance Fairs are whimsically playful. And then there's relationally playful. So these are also attributed to Dr. Rene Preuer. He scientifically validated these as personal play identities related to the science of personality. And the relationally playful, he actually calls other directed if you read his research, but it's really hard for me to say other directedly playful. So I call it relational, but it just means playing in relation with others, socially playful, maybe being playful, for the benefit of someone else, or sometimes that like pranksters are often relationally playful. And then that fourth one is intellectually playful. So the concept of playing with ideas, playing with puzzles and usually numbers and that sort of thing can fall under that personal play identity.
All right, AC. So why is the topic of fun and playfulness and play at work, the work that you do, what's missing in our jobs, in our careers, in our work lives that requires someone like you to come along and teach us, gosh, bring some of that playfulness along? What's missing there?
Our connection to play as adults is what is missing. And that starts even before adulthood, often for a lot of us, depending on where we live in the world, what our communities are like, but there are many of us professional working adults, I might say, especially in America, who are taught around middle school that play is not important anymore. It's not time to play anymore. You need to grow up. It's time to be mature. It's time to get serious. Do your work. Buckle down. Study. Learn. Input, output, input, output. And that's how our education system works. That's how a lot of the corporate world works. And so we just fall into that. There's often not a lot of option to ignore it. And so we've been kind of forced down that path. So we say, okay, yeah. Play is for kids. Sure. That's how they learn. That's fine. We'll leave that behind. It's time to grow up. And there's actually a couple clinical and scientific reasons behind that, of the way we used to view our brain development, which has fortunately changed now. And we know now, based in neuroscientific research, that play is actually beneficial for our brains across our entire lifespan. So play, the act of play and playing and being playful, triggers a release of the very neurochemicals that are directly responsible for our abilities to learn and grow and change and develop in amazing ways. Again, across our entire lifespan, aside from, you know, disease and disorder, obviously accepted, but typical brain development, it doesn't stop when we're young. And it turns out that the neurochemicals that are responsible for it are triggered best and most easily and most often by play.
So we here at The Receptionist, whenever we do, we don't call them webinars, we call them live demos. And when our director of sales, Tom, and I get on those live demos, we're in costumes. We have dressed up like Harry and Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. We have dressed up like Slash and Axel from, we've dressed up like so many different, and it is, I think it's that whimsical style that you talked about. And the amount of feedback that we get from people that attend those, from our customers, from our potential customers, is just like, I've never been in a, they call them webinars, but I've never been in a webinar or a live demo like that before. You guys are different. You mentioned the intellectual playfulness in a spreadsheet and being able to think about those ideas in a different way. As we wrap this conversation up here about play, AC, what are some ways that that original definition that you shared with us, and maybe you share it again to set up this question, what are some ways that we can bring play into work that that goes against or maybe rebuts this notion that people have out there that play has to be goofy board games and telling jokes and being an idiot around the office? Yeah. What are some ways that you have, what are some great ways that you've seen play being incorporated into work in the most beneficial ways?
Yeah. So the definition you mentioned, Renee Proyer, the ability to reframe a situation to be interesting, entertaining, or stimulating, period. The word fun, it's okay. Not comma and fun. That's just it. And actually, your example of you all dressing up in costumes and having individuals witness that, I guess, and then be surprised. That's beneficial for them in a number of ways, and also you all. But we get dopamine, that neurochemical, a very important one, in anticipation of something new and novel and things being a little bit surprising and in that way, exciting. So you're setting your customers, clients up for a little bit of a dopamine rush at the very beginning of that. And dopamine doesn't also, it does make us feel good. It definitely makes us feel good. But dopamine is also directly responsible for working memory and learning and focus and attention. So in that way, maybe that's a very easy tip to toss around at the office, is just do something a little bit new and different. Because in that very walking backwards down the hall, if you're safe, trying to write something with your opposite hand, sending your coworker a message in a code, which I'm sure you could easily look up on ChatGPT these days if you don't know any codes. So just doing a little bit of something different and novel, and then that will directly tap into that neuroscientific neurochemical benefit of play.
Beautiful. AC, we have just scratched the surface here, but this is the point of this. We just want to give people something to think about. Where can people go to find out more about the work that you do and learn more about your take and your style of play?
Yeah. So my website is www.playfulworkdesign.com. So we are designing work to be more playful together. My company's name is Boardless. I'm on Instagram and LinkedIn. Really, if you just look up my first name and last name, I'm kind of the only AC Holmes out
there.
You'll be there. You'll find me there.
Amazing. AC, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in and watching this episode of The Fabric. If you want more content from our studio here in Denver, Colorado, please consider subscribing to our channel here on YouTube. That's youtube.com/thereceptionistapp. To see more of our content coming out of this space that you see behind me, as well as more content from the remarkable guests and the rest of the team here at The Receptionist that we plan to highlight and show you much more of. Join us in the comments, and we'll see you on the next episode.
The Fabric is hosted by me, Michael Ashford, Director of Marketing here at The Receptionist, and it's produced by our creative manager, James Jordan. If you'd like to give The Receptionist for iPad Visitor Management System a try in your office, jump over to thereceptionist.com/freetrial and give us a test drive for 14 days with no credit card required. See what you think. And until next time, take care.